Prepare to dive into the forefront of healthcare innovation at our 14th annual meeting coming up on April 8th through 11th at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, with thousands of industry leaders converging over four dynamic days of discussions on crucial topics from health IT to executive leadership. It's where the future of healthcare takes shape. We can't wait to connect with you in person and engage in these important conversations.
This is Laura Zierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Pam Oliver, Chief Medical Officer at Novant Health. Dr. Oliver, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me, Laura.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to really discuss further Novant's new Center for Public Policy Solutions. But before we dive into that discussion, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I am Pam Oliver. I'm Executive Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Novant Health. I'm an OBGYN physician by training and heart. I should probably lead with that. We are a not-for-profit integrated health system in North Carolina and South Carolina with 19 medical centers, more than 850 locations across our network, over 2,000 physicians, and about as many advanced practice providers who are caring for our communities in the Southeast. As Chief Medical Officer, I now have the responsibility and take great pride in our safety and quality, health equity across our organization, medical education, including our graduate medical education programs, clinical research, and that drives me as a woman of color, a physician, driving outcomes for our communities in a holistic and a comprehensive approach is really what my teams do. And so, you know, I have a platform that I don't take for granted, you know, in my role, and try to make sure I think that I leverage that for good, which is why I really appreciate you having me here today.
The pleasure is all ours. Now, from your perspective, could you tell us about Novant's new Center for Public Policy Solutions? Why did you launch it, and what are you focused on?
So, Novant Health has been on a journey for many years to address several things related to the care our teams provide. One of those was addressing burnout, and another was tackling being real tactical in how we think about what is getting in the way of our teams doing the good care that we already know that they do. So we've been on a journey of listening and engaging our physicians, our nurses, and advanced practice providers to really appreciate what it is that gets in the way of us delivering, of having the best impact we can have for the great care we already know that we deliver. So we put together the Novant Health Center for Public Policy Solutions in 2023 as an extension of some work that we had already undertaken. And wanted this to really be about developing actionable policy with patients and clinicians at the center. So right now, across our organization and almost every organization, we are facing burnout related to just the load of what gets in the way of a physician being able to take care of the patient in front of them. And so our goal with this was we've done a lot of work already to remove barriers and to do what we feel like we could do. We saw a lot of work that was being done. We were listening to our clinicians, and this was our way to really think about how to bring together those thought partners, those really smart people who are experts and understand and appreciate every aspect of the challenges that they're facing, put those smart minds together, help us to identify the highest priority areas where we can have real impact. And when we have impact, it will not just affect and benefit Novant Health, but it will benefit all those across the country. And so pulling together the Center for Public Policy Solutions was a way for us to get beyond some of the macroeconomic challenges and sweeping reforms that get caught up and have maybe less of a chance of success, and to get into the weeds, identify very specific solutions, drive real change, and see an impact during the careers of the physicians that are facing these challenges today.
That's amazing to hear. And you know, what a really cool philosophy to have in terms of being able to affect real change in the moment and being able to tackle those things that can be dealt with over, as you mentioned, that kind of time frame within a physician's career, the time that there was no one to be able to really see the results. That's so cool. What are some of the big healthcare policy challenges that you're seeing right now?
So the one that we're targeting right now, and one that is core to the challenges that we have as physicians, is overregulation. We go to school, we learn all the best medicines, we believe in best practices, we see patients, and there are so many things that get in the way of us being able to just take care of that patient. And when we look at the studies nationwide, and they say two in three, scary that two in three physicians and one in two nurses report experience and burnout. And it's not because of the care we're delivering, the actual practice of medicine. It is because of all the other stuff that's getting in the way. And a lot of that is driven by policies, regulations, rules that physicians have to jump through hoops to be able to do what we know our patients need and what is best practice for our patients. So when we started, we've been on a journey for many, many years to as we looked at burnout. And we put together programs to address burnout, affecting, like looking at the both internal, what can I do as a physician myself, being present, working on, you know, my own, what I can control, and what we really started getting into these external factors that affect burnout. And this falls into that external. As an organization, we had a project called Getting Rid of Stupid Stuff that some organizations have done across the country. And we asked our doctors, what are the things that you feel are just stupid, that are getting in the way, that bog you down in the day, take you away from patient care? And we addressed hundreds of those over the course, the first year even, and we continue it year over year, removing clicks, removing pop-ups that don't drive value. Simplifying workflows and optimizing our electronic health record. And we did that, and that was to take our doctors from the norm of spending 2 hours for every 1 hour, 2 hours documenting and charting for every 1 hour of patient care, which is insane that that's the balance now that nationally, to reducing that time. So we drove as much as we could, and what we realized is sometimes we would send out a notification that to our teams that now this is a new requirement or you need to do X or Y. And we started putting a why behind it. Why are you being asked to do this? And we need it to be clear. Is this something that we as a system have chosen to ask you to do? Or is this something that someone else, a payer, the government, the state is saying that we now have to do? And it was eye-opening because it really helped us to see the amount of external influence on the workload of our clinicians. And so we set up a clinical partner engagement team, educating our doctors on what is happening in the policy world. We started engaging them more, writing letters to give feedback to CMS, to the state, inviting them to be active advocates. And so as we pulled this poly solutions together and we started talking about the biggest cha one of the biggest challenges right now, what they see in taking care of patients in front of them, the overregulation topic that rose to the top was the idea that when we see patients for a specific type of visit, specifically a preventative visit, that we are limited in what we can provide to that patient without that patient having to pay more. And it then becomes almost like the physician's in the middle, where it's a confrontational situation that develops. So the Affordable Care Act requires that insurers cover annual checkups, annual preventative exams, that those are visits in our world that are in the insurer's world that are designed to be coming in to get checked out and just do the routine preventative things. That is different than a problem visit. When we see patients, and a lot of patients don't speak that language, they don't understand, and I don't think the payers do a great job of informing them of the nuances of their coverage. They see this as a free visit regardless. So when the physician, when they have problems and our teams do the right thing and we address those problems at the time, the patient then incurs a separate bill where they actually have to pay something. And it leads to lots of anger, and patients are upset with their physicians, and their anger is directed to the wrong people because this contract is with their payer and this is driven by the payers or the government in some ways. And we need that to change. We need to be able to take care of our patients and do what we need to do. And we would do the same thing for them. If they came back for a problem visit, it would be the same. It's just that we are either prohibited from doing it without applying the charge, or we're asked to do it and not charge so that we don't upset the patient. And that's not fair to our physicians either, to not value the time, the energy they're doing it, or to be put in a situation where we ignore something for a patient or have to have them come back knowing that that might impact the outcome. So overregulation, the multiple rules that vary by insurer, but this specific topic of, for our, especially our primary care physicians, rose to the top as something that if we can move the needle on, they really felt would benefit them from a career burnout perspective.
Well, that's fascinating to hear. And certainly, you know, as you were describing this whole situation, I can imagine extremely frustrating for the physicians as well as patients in trying to figure out how to manage all of the different rules and regulations from different payers, I'm sure, as well. Obviously, you outlined a few of the steps that you've been taking, but how have you seen any of the response, or have you been able to move the needle at all within some of your conversations with payers in that regard, or is it still a work in progress?
It's definitely still a work in progress. We expect that some of this will take, you know, time because there are so many parties that are involved, right? There are levers that the government obviously can pull to influence payers in this space. Individual payers may be willing to partner and make these changes. There may not necessarily be a single solution that, you know, swipe of a pen solves it for us day one. We did a white paper on this subject and released that in the fall with the input of our physicians and our leadership teams. And so we still are very much early in this, but continuing the advocacy for pulling in those, like continuing to engage our physicians and more, I will tell you that has had an impact that I don't want to understate, is physicians feeling seen and heard and knowing that we are advocating on their part is priceless.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, you know, and it's great that you've been able to fill that space and fill that voice and give them a platform in order to really make a difference within the patients that they're working with, as well as just the healthcare system overall. And I'm curious, too, when you look at, you know, what you've been able to do at Novant Health and how health systems across the board are really dealing with many of the same challenges, what opportunities are there for those health systems to really influence legislation and public policy in the future?
I think we have there's huge potential there, and it's really about starting with just listening to all health systems. While we have similar overarching challenges, have a unique opportunity to use those experts that we work with and partner with every day to inform us on what the challenges are and to truly listen. We band-aid and we fix things and try to make it work within this complex kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's broken, but really challenging system that we all work with. And listening and raising those voices and pushing that forward so that it becomes not just Novant Health who is identifying and challenging and seeking solutions, but it's a sea of voices that all can sing and inform about these challenges. I think that could be incredibly powerful. I do think that the more our clinical teams have an opportunity to engage with lawmakers and that's across any health system, the better. That I've often found myself when advising or speaking with members of Congress or state legislators, they're open and willing to listen and don't always appreciate or know some of these nuances and challenges. So as health systems, we have both the ability to and the duty to pull in our teams to do the best we can to inform those who are setting these policies, have an opportunity to change these policies over time. And we truly believe that our organization will be a great resource as timely policy changes are on the horizon and other health systems will follow suit.
Dr. Oliver, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fun and informative conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Well, I look forward to updating you as we see progress from the great work we're doing, and I appreciate you having me, Laura.